Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad God's so good? Amen. Aren't you glad you didn't wake up this morning and God is angry with you, or God is mad at you, or God is over you? Maybe you woke up this morning and felt like some people feel that way about you, but it doesn't matter how people feel about you, it matters how God feels about you, amen? And God is for you, He's not against you, He's got a plan for you, and you know, I just encourage you, you may have been walking in church or in church your whole life and still never experienced the goodness and the greatness of God. I just encourage you, don't tune out, tune in, amen? God is here, you just gotta open up and say, Lord, I don't know what's happened in the past with you. I just believe this is for somebody by the Spirit of God. Not to be all weird about it, but just by the Spirit of God, somebody's in here, you've been in church a long time, and you've just never really got it. You just never really got it. And you know what? God's here for you today saying, you know what? You're not waiting on Him. He's waiting on you. Amen. Pastor Mark used to say that all the time. You say, God's not waiting on you. I mean, God, you're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. Amen? God's ready. God comes in like a flood. And it doesn't matter. You say, well, this happened, this happened, this happened. Let's forget about what happened and let's talk about what's happening. Amen? What's happening? What's happening right now? You need God right now. So you need to lay aside all that stuff and just lay aside, you know, I just feel like just lay aside what maybe mom said, dad said, pastor said, whoever said, and just say, Lord, it's just you and me, and I need something from you today. Amen? I believe you're going to get it. I believe you're going to get it. Amen? All right, well, today we're going to, now I promise you, I know I said this last week, but obviously I was lying. I promise you that today is the last of life hacks. Don't cry about it. Today's the last of life hacks. I've had a lot of fun with this series. I love the book of James. The book of James, just a reminder, it's pastoral. It is a pastor. James is a pastor. He was pastoring the largest church at the time. And he's pastoring us. As we go through the book of James like we've done these last several weeks, we're being pastored by him. He's giving us life lessons for today's world. Amen? And you say, well, that was written a long time ago. Yes, it was written a long time ago. But the same issues that he's talking about are the same issues we have today. Amen. People say, oh, the Bible is old-fashioned. You know, on Wednesday night, we talked about what the Bible talks about. And you know, what the Bible talks about is what's going on right here, right now, today. Amen. The Bible is never out of date. You know why? Because it is living and alive. It is the Word of God. It's speaking to us. And so when we read through the book of James like we've done, we're being pastored. We're being helped. And I don't know about you, but I need help. And so these life hacks are just God's wisdom for today's time. Hard times and rough relationships. That's what we said at the beginning. I don't know about you, but I've had some hard times and I've got some rough relationships in my life. Don't look around. I'm not looking at anybody. Amen? And so we look at the Word and it teaches us some things. And so today's, what we're going to look at today is in James chapter 3. You can go ahead and start turning there. And we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about wisdom. And I need you to know that there's two life truths. You know, a life truth is something that the sooner you get it, the better off you're going to be. There are just life truths that we need to get. And immaturity, when we look at someone and say, man, that person is so immature, it's because they have not matured. And what happens, what changes you from immaturity to maturity is that you learn life lessons. Yes. Amen. You learn life lessons. You learn life's truths. Amen. And so two things I need you guys to just really get a hold of today. And we're just going to dive into book of James here, chapter 3. And we're going to pull all this apart. And you're going to walk out of here and it's going to help you. I'm excited about this message because it will help you. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, it will help you. Now look at your other neighbor and say, and you need it. Amen. And you need it. So two life truths. Number one is that there are two kinds of wisdom. The Bible talks about two kinds of wisdom. There is wisdom that comes from above, and there is wisdom that comes from below. There's wisdom that comes from above, and there's wisdom that comes from below. And the second life truth, and I'm going to explain to you why The two cannot be mixed.
Hello.
They can't be mixed. But actually, that's exactly what we do all the time. We try to mix them. And so, you know, the Bible says here, turn over to here in James chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 13 through 18. We're going to read it up here. All of us read it. So we're all reading the same thing. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? That's a really good question, isn't it? When we think about who is wise, you know, some people say, who, you know, if we were to go out on the street, you know, word on the street, and say, hey, who do you think is wise? A lot of people would say Oprah. You know, Oprah seems very wise. A lot of people say, oh, well, actually, that's who most people say is wise, Oprah. But a lot of her wisdom doesn't come from the word. So we'll go on here. And it says, let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. All right, let's keep going. Then we're going to go back and really look at these. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Ooh, that's a strong word, isn't it? A strong word. All right, let's keep going. Oh, I'm sorry. It says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Another translation says disorder and discontentment. Let's go to the next one. He says, but when the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. That sounds good, doesn't it? Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. And so we're just gonna camp here today. And so go back to the beginning. Let's go back. And so the Bible tells me, it says, who is wise among you and understanding among you? It says, let them show it by their good life. Let's just stop there. When we're looking for wisdom, we're looking for understanding on some things. The Bible says that there is a fruit. There, wisdom has a show. Wisdom shows things. And so it says, listen, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life. And see, we think about this, but let's just stop for a second. It always amazes me who people take relationship advice from. It just boggles my mind that people take relationship advice from people who do not have the good life. They don't have it. And then it says, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. And so if I'm operating in the right kind of wisdom, it's going to be with humility. I'm going to have a good life. I'm going to have deeds. Go to the next verse here. He says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Go to the next one. He says, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. And so this is telling me that there are two kinds of wisdom. It's saying that there's wisdom that comes from above, and it shows, I can see wisdom. I can see when myself or someone else is operating from the wisdom that comes from above. That would be heavenly wisdom, and we find that wisdom in the Word of God. That's where we find it. And so if I'm operating from the wisdom that comes from the Word, if I'm operating from that, it's going to show in my life. But if I am operating from the wisdom that comes from the earth, that comes from here, the Bible says it's demonic. It says that's going to show too, because it says I'm going to harbor bitter envy, selfish ambition in my heart. And it says don't boast about it or deny the truth. You got to see the truth. It says such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly and unspiritual and demonic. And where you have envy and self-ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Another translation says evil, disorder and discontentment. And so when we think of wisdom and we realize there are two kinds of wisdom, And we understand that. And we see that both of them have fruit. But it says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. It's peace-loving. It's considerate. It's submissive. It's full of mercy and good fruit. It's impartial and sincere. Man, that sounds so good, doesn't it? Now, when we look at verse number 13, it says, when we're looking here, it says humility. Humility. Humility, it's not about you.
Hello.
That's humility. Humility realizes everything's not about me. Amen? And when we read verse number 15, it gives us the description of wisdom from the earth. It tells me that it's bitter, that it has envy in it, and all this stuff. And so when we think of that, think about all this, it's telling me, hey, there's two different kinds of wisdom, and the wisdom of the world looks completely different from the wisdom of heaven. Completely different. It looks totally different. And so you guys know how commercials, they minister to me. They do. Commercials give me great sermon illustrations because there are some really great commercials out there. I mean, one of my all-time favorite commercials is what? That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works, right? I love that commercial. And so I got another commercial to show you today, and I want to show you two different kinds of wisdom. Two different kinds of wisdom. How many have seen the Geico commercial and it's making fun of the horror movies? Anybody seen this commercial? Anybody seen it? All right, we're going to play this for you guys. Ready? All right, let's watch this commercial.
Let's hide in the attic.
No, in the basement. Why can't we just get in the running car?
Are you crazy? Let's hide behind the chainsaws.
Smart. Yeah, okay.
If you're in a horror movie, you make poor decisions. That's what you do.
Shh, I'm being quiet. Breathing on me.
If you want to save 15% or more on car insurance, you switch to Geico. It's what you do.
Isn't that funny? She says, and then they go, run to the cemetery. But what does the girl say? Like, they're in this, you know, situation, and they're all like, let's do this. And the girl says, why can't we just get in the running car? And what does the guy, he looks at her, he goes, what are you, crazy? That's the difference between earthly wisdom and heaven wisdom. Because, and notice what she does, when he says, what are you, crazy? Let's hide behind the chainsaws. And somebody else says, smart, okay. And they run and they hide behind the chainsaws. And, you know, we look at that and we think, you know, that is so stupid. And how many of us have ever been watching a movie or a TV show and somebody makes just the dumbest decision and we're just like, that is so stupid, right? But yet that's the difference between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. Because what happens is the mob mentality, the group mentality is always going to be earthly. It's always going to be earthly. How many times have you ever told someone about what you're doing and what the Lord has spoken to you, what the Bible says about a situation, and they've looked at you and said, what are you, crazy? You know, when you talk to somebody about giving, about tithing, they're like, what are you, crazy? When you talk to someone about being at church, they're like, what are you, crazy? And if you're not careful, they're going to get you behind a bunch of chainsaws. And the bad guy's going to be standing right behind you going, you're right where I wanted you to be, right? I wonder how many times the enemy has that exact look on his face like, you're so stupid, right? Because we're operating from the wrong kind of wisdom. We're operating from wisdom that doesn't fit in. Heavenly wisdom will not fit in with the world. It's not supposed to.
That's right.
It doesn't come from here. It comes from heaven. Amen? And but see, here's what happens. You say, well, why do we run behind the chainsaws? Why do we do that? Because we forget we're spiritual beings. We forget we're three-part beings. And the natural, the earthly wisdom only deals with earthly things. The natural earthly wisdom has no view of eternal and spiritual things. Earthly wisdom forgets you are not just an earthly being. You are a spiritual being. Amen. And when you forget you are a spiritual being, you kind of close the door to all of God's wisdom. You close the door to God's way. You say, well, I want to fit in. Do you? Do we want to fit in with the world? The Bible says we're here, but we're not of this place. We're spiritual beings, amen? And we need to tap into spiritual wisdom, wisdom that comes from heaven. When we look at this, I love when the guy in the commercial says, "Are you crazy?" But that's exactly what happens. We follow the world's advice all the time. And when we follow the world's advice, we end up in nightmare situations. The world will tell you, single people, live with them first. Live with them first and see if it works out. See if it works out. See if you're compatible. See if you're compatible in every way. Live with them first. And so the world will tell you that that's smart and that's the wise thing to do, but the Bible tells you different. But what the world cannot see and will not admit to is that couples who live together before marriage for a long period of time, listen to me, are 90% more likely to get a divorce. That's a true statement. True statement. The world will tell you not to give, to take care of your own. Take care of you. You got to take care of you. Don't be a giver. Don't share. Don't be a giver. Worldly wisdom will tell you that. You got to save it all. I remember one of our church members went to an accountant, and the accountant was, you know, helping them out with their finances. And the accountant said, the first thing you need to do is stop giving all this money to the church. Stop tithing. And the person said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And the accountant began to tell them how they could take that 10% and put it into different accounts and different funds that would fund more money back to them. But here's an interesting thing. Do you know the two biggest businesses who make for their industry are Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby? Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby are both closed on Sunday. They do that to let their employees have time with their families. But in the very beginning, they did that because they were operating according to the Sabbath. Here's an interesting thing. Other companies study both of those companies to figure out how they make more in 6 days than the other companies make in 7. See, it doesn't make sense. They can't figure it out. You know why? Because they're using heavenly wisdom, and earthly wisdom is trying to figure it out, and they never will. I love when Anthony Martinez was talking about he gave his Why I Give video. And he said, you know, I can't figure it out. He goes, I didn't get a raise, more money didn't come in, but it just worked. It just worked. And he's like, really, like, you know, he's got like a notebook for everything, right? And he's like, it just worked. And so what's operating here? Heavenly wisdom is operating here. Never forget you're a spiritual being. And when you operate in heavenly principles, when you operate in heavenly wisdom, spiritual power comes into your life. Redemption power, restoration power, multiplication power. Amen? You no longer are operating according to natural law and natural things. Now you are operating according to spiritual things and spiritual laws. But you got to operate in heavenly wisdom to do that. And so we've got to look and see, man, who is wise? Who am I thinking is wise? Well, we can say all day long, the Bible. But are we really taking that as our source of wisdom, as our source? You know, in the world, there are so many voices that are screaming to get your attention. And so when we think about wisdom, I want you to think about this. I said to you today that the two wisdoms cannot be mixed. There is a heavenly wisdom and there is an earthly wisdom. And so there is a line in between that separates the two. And so in earthly wisdom, what are some of the things that scream into us that are trying to give us information? Well, one would be parents. There's no such thing as a perfect parent. You may be here today and maybe you weren't raised in a Christian environment, or maybe you were raised in a Christian environment, but it was an unhealthy one. You know, I've said for years, one of the most damaging things a parent can do is to be two different people. To be one way in church and another way at home. Because you're training your children that what you're doing here isn't real, because you don't take it home. You're double-minded. The Bible says when you're double-minded, You are unstable in all your ways. Not just some, all. Be real. Be real. And so, parents, that's one voice. Another voice is teachers. Teachers are trying to give wisdom. Professors are giving wisdom. Social media is trying to give wisdom, right? The news is trying to put wisdom in. It's trying to sway me. It's trying to move me on a decision, right? And so I have social media. I have the news. I have late night talk show hosts. I have friends. That's why it's so important who your friends are. Because your friends, you know, because when you're in trouble, who do you usually turn to? Your friend. And if you have friends that all they're going to do is give you earthly wisdom, the Bible, remember, the Bible says that's demonic. It's demonic. And it's not going to produce the fruit in you that you're looking for. And so we have politics. You know, we have such a loud voice of political things that are trying to move us. Trying to speak that wisdom into us. We have all these things that are trying to tell me what is right and what direction I should go, how I should think. Listen, parents, the world is trying to mold how your children think. And if that's all they hear, don't be surprised when they turn out worldly. Don't be surprised. Because it's trying to mold them into thinking a certain way. The world will tell you, if it feels good, do it. The world will tell you that we need to be not just accepting of everyone, which believers should be, but approving of everyone. That's two different things. Two totally different things. And so the world will tell me that, and the world's trying to mold the way I think. You know, you can see, and sociologists study this, that when a change of culture has come into the U.S., when change has come, whether it be, through sexual things or whether it be through relationship things, but when a change of culture has come where something that was not okay at one time but now is common and okay, it always begins on television. It begins on television because television makes it fun and funny and accepting. And we bring it into our home. And because we hear it every week for 30 minutes, this is okay. This is all right. This is okay. What's happening is changing how I think. And suddenly, something that before everybody's like, oh, no, 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 no. Now everybody's like, oh, it's all right. It's fine. And we're like, how did that happen? We let earthly wisdom mold us. We let it mold us. And so we have all these things that are speaking into our life. And if those things are louder than that heavenly wisdom, they will have majority vote in our life. But here's how we do. This is what we do. We mix it. We mix it. As believers, we're like, oh yeah, you know, the word is, that's it. That's it. But then we're like, but you know this, oh, this earthly stuff, I'm okay with this. And I know what the word says, but you know, I'm just not okay with that. I've had people say that. You know, there are things in the word that even I'm like, I don't really get it and I don't understand that. And I'm going to ask the Lord when I get there, but my final authority is the word, regardless of how I feel. It may not make me comfortable. It may not make me popular, but it is earthly wisdom. It is heavenly wisdom. But we try to mix it all together. We're trying like, oh, you know, I really like this, and I really like this, and I really like this, and I really like this. What happened? I just took me, and I put me over heavenly wisdom. Now I got it all mixed. And then I'm wondering, why do I not have the peace the heavenly wisdom brings? Why do I not have the fruit, the good life the heavenly wisdom brings? Why? Because I got stuff mixed together. See, it can't be mixed, because when it's mixed together, it brings disorder and discontentment. Isn't that what the scripture said? When we look back up here in James, it says, Verse number 16 is where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. The other translation says disorder and discontentment. We live in a world that is trying to teach us that discontentment is part of life. And here's what discontentment means. I'm never satisfied. I'm always in a position of want. Isn't that what the world tells us? You know, right now, how many have an iPhone 6 or 7? Got an iPhone 6 or 7? Think about what amazing creations those things are. I mean, if you really think about how amazing, or an Android, if you're an Android person, you know, how amazing your phone is. So, you know, I've told you before, that phone, it's a little computer is what it is. It has more computing power in it than the computer that sent the first thing to the moon. Isn't that incredible? That's a true statement. But now the iPhone 8's coming out, or it's even out. And then iPhone 10. iPhone 10. So what, let's just be honest. What is all of us who have, like I have a 6. It's not even a 6S. It's just a 6, right? It's just 6. How many of us that have like an iPhone 6, where it's like, this is useless. It's garbage. It's outdated. You just look at it like, right? I can't even believe this is my phone, right? You don't do cool. You don't even have. I look at my phone. I'm like, you don't even have portrait. You don't have portrait. My husband has portrait on his phone. I'm always asking him, let me borrow your phone. He's like, why? I'm like, cause I don't even have portrait. And if you don't know what that is, I don't know what to tell you. You know. It's a cool feature on the phone that I do not have, that I want. And then I saw the iPhone 10. It does portrait. It has all these things with colors. I'm like, I got to have that. I have got to have that. Somebody told me the other day when you go on the waiting list, I'm like, put it on my calendar when I can go on the waiting list for the iPhone 10. I know, I'm ridiculous. I'm ridiculous, but what has happened? There is a discontentment has come over me. It's come over me. I want the iPhone 10. But you know what? That's exactly how we are. How often do we teach people of goals of getting? We live in a community, we live in a society, we live in a culture where it's okay to have goals of getting. People have dream boards of stuff they want, a lifestyle they want, things they want. Where are the goals of giving?
Hello. Hello.
When's the last time you set a goal for giving? You know, I have a friend who's wealthy. And people can roll their eyes like, oh, like wealthy people don't have problems. Listen, wealthy people have problems probably more than you realize. Because here's something that you and I probably don't deal with that a very wealthy person does. They never know if somebody really wants to be their friend. Or if they just want to coattail the lifestyle. That's a real thing. And you're like, oh, I'd deal with that for all the money. Every life has its own problems. But I'll tell you about my friend. I'll tell you why they're wealthy. Because they always have a goal for giving. Every time I talk to this person, they've got a new goal for giving. And it inspires me. And it's not like they can just write these big checks. There are limitations and things like that. And so this person a few years ago said, I'm going to give money to every nation in the world. Every single nation, the small ones you've never heard about to the big ones. I'm going to support ministry in every nation of the world. And it took them a few years to do it, and they had to believe God for the money. And so they gave a minimum, I think it was $25,000 or $30,000. That was the minimum. And then to other moves and works, they gave a lot more as the Lord led. And they kept a little notebook, nothing fancy. And they wrote down first they went on the internet and found out all the nations. You know, there's nations you've never even heard of. they wrote them all down and wrote down what they gave. And over there, they had this tremendous goal for giving. And it was so inspiring. And so you're sitting here today and you're like, well, I can't do that. I can't do that. But what can you do? What can you do? You know, one thing that Scott and I have always said, we say this, we live it. We want to increase our standard of giving, not our standard of living. Amen? And we want to increase our standard of giving. So we put percentages on things. We say, oh, you know, next year we want to give this percent. Want to do this, want to do this. That's heavenly wisdom. Because earthly wisdom, it produces selfish ambition, the Bible says. And where there is selfish ambition, it's only about you. It's only about you. Isn't that what it says? I'm not making it up. Let's look at it again. He says, for where you have envy, envy always says, I can't rejoice that you got it. That's what envy is. Everybody's like, oh, envy is a jealousy. No, here's the definition of envy. Envy does not rejoice when someone else gets something. Envy says, why did you get it and not me? That's envy. Next time your friend gets a raise, check yourself for envy. Next time your friend gets a new car, check yourself for envy, right? He says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and discontentment. Where does that come from, though? It comes from that wisdom. Verse number 14 says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? And so when we think about this, we think about the wisdom, we think about all these voices that are trying to speak into my head, and we ask ourselves, what is influencing me? Whose voice am I listening to? We have got to stop, and say, how big of a voice does the Word of God truly have in my life? Is it just here on Sunday? Is it just something I buy little plaques that say it or put things on Facebook? Listen, just because you post it on Facebook doesn't mean you're living it. Amen? It takes more. Praise the Lord, you're posting, amen? And you're being bold with your faith. But it doesn't stop there. We're not just like, the Lord's not going to go, look at your post. Ooh, good for you. God's not going to do that. You know what God's looking at? He's like, look at your life. Amen? What's going on in my life? Because the world will tell you, how many times have we heard the story or been the person who everybody said, no, it's okay, it's okay. It's legal, it's okay. But you knew in your heart it was a loophole and it wasn't right. We have a choice to make there, and we can either be that cautionary tale that we all can learn a lesson from. And listen, I've done it. We've probably all done it. We're just like, oh, well, you know, the person said it's legal. They said it's okay. It's good. But all along, the word is telling you something different. Man, if we'll stick with the word, it's going to lead to a good life. Amen? It's going to lead to peace. It's going to lead to righteousness. It's going to lead to the things we really want. We need to check ourselves. The Bible says, don't deny the truth. Don't deny it. We need to ask ourselves, do I live in a position of disorder? You might come to church, but if you come to church and then everything else is done in the wrong order, we come to church, we put God first here on Sunday, but then tomorrow when that business decision needs to be made, all we listen to is earthly wisdom. All we listen to is that earthly wisdom. We've got things out of order. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33 that we seek first the kingdom of God. It's so often, and if you've ever come to me, I will never say anything different, but when people come to me and they say, oh, we're going to do this, this, and this, I almost always say, what does the word say? What does the word say? And I'm not pointing fingers. I've done it too, where I know what the word says. I know what the word says. We can know to do right. We talked about it that last week with temptation. We can know to do the right thing, but do the wrong thing. Why? Because we're tempted. Because all of our friends are going, no, it's legal. It's okay. Don't be a party pooper. Don't do this. Don't do that. Blah, 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 blah. Right? We're just like the girl in the movie. Why can't we get into the running car? We got the wisdom of the Lord. That's godly wisdom right there, getting the running car. Right? She's like, why can't we get into the running car? And our friends say, what are you, crazy? And then they spout out that earthly wisdom. We're like, okay. Next thing you know, our marriage is in a nightmare. Our finances are in a nightmare. Our careers are in a nightmare. Because we listen to somebody and their wisdom did not line up with the word. If wisdom does not line up with the word, it is not heavenly wisdom. And it's not going to work. It might work for a short time. It will not work for the long haul. It won't. You know, I remember an occasion where we had an opportunity to go in on this deal, this real estate deal. My husband's not here, so I'll tell this story. And it was one of those things where it was right during the market was booming and everything. And we were like, oh, let's do it. You know, we had extra money and we said, let's do it. We're going to go in partners, we'll buy this house. We'll flip it. We'll make money. Oh, we're going to make so much money. Right? So I called my husband and I said, hey, do you want to go in on this deal? And he's like, oh, I don't know. He goes, I don't think so. Let's not do it. And like a bonehead, I pushed it. I was like, because it was people I didn't want to say no to. I didn't want to say no to them. And I said, it's not that much money. I really think it's a good idea. Let's just do it. And my husband, you know, wives, your husbands have an anointing for your home. They have an anointing to be the head. You don't have it. You don't have that anointing. You have an anointing to be the helpmate. And as much as that makes us like, sometimes, like, I don't want to be the helpmate. I want to be in charge, right? We don't say that out loud, but we say it inside, right? Okay, I say it inside. I want to be in charge, you know? But our husbands have an anointing there. They have an anointing to be the head. And you say, and I've counseled many wives where they come in, they're like, my husband wants to do this. And I tell him, listen, to be in unity in the word is better than to be right. If you don't believe your husband is right. Now, we're not talking about abuse or anything. Don't be crazy. That is crazy. We're talking about those daily marriage decisions that we do this on. If you feel like your husband's right, there's more power in unity than being right. If you'll unify and trust God, you'd be surprised how many times it'll work out because of the anointing. See, we're not just earthly beings. We're spiritual beings. There's more at work than just being right. Amen? That's a lesson I learned the hard way. Because my husband, for once, I don't think it's ever happened again, he gave in. He's like, all right, if you want to do it, go ahead and do it. That's never happened again. Probably, and I'll tell you why. Because that was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. It didn't work out. If had we not been people who really walk in love, it could have caused relationships to end. We just had to chalk it up as a big loss. And I will never forget it. I will never forget that thing. And so now, when Scott says no, I'm like, all right, no problem. Because I trust God. And if I think that we need to do something different, I don't push about it, I pray about it. Because wives, believe it or not, God will speak to your husband on your behalf. He will. I don't know why we're going this direction. I didn't plan on doing this. Marriage works. But if you tell the world, I'm a submitted wife. They will look at you and say, you are weak and don't know your place because they have earthly wisdom. It's earthly wisdom. And the Bible says that earthly wisdom is demonic. And we need to be real with that. We need to just be like, you know what? That's the truth. The Bible says it, and that's the truth. And if you really think about it, you'll see that that's true. Because when the world is going to, if I'm going to listen to the world about marriage advice, are you crazy? Get into the running car. Amen. Get into the running car. God knows how marriage works. He created it. He created it. Get into what works, not what somebody just feels good spouting off. It's easy to say a bunch of crap. It's easy to say that. It's harder to say, well, what does the word say? Whatever the word says, let's do that. Amen? But what's it going to produce? Let's close up here. Let's look at the scripture one more time. It's so powerful. I know we only got in this one scripture, but it's just so good. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life. I don't know about you, but I want a good life. I want my family to have a good life. I want my finances to have a good life. I want my health to have a good life. I want my marriage to have a good life. If you have children in here, you want your children to have a good life. Amen? Don't let the world raise your children. Amen? Don't do that. I had a parent say to me, oh, my kid doesn't like church anymore. I was like, what does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with anything? If I was 11 years old, I'd much rather stay home and sleep in and play video games and do whatever I want on a Sunday morning. Sure, but that's not what I need. That's not what I need. What does what we like have to do with anything? Amen? We've got to really look at that and say, hey, where am I getting my wisdom from? Am I doing a mix? Like, oh, I like this part of the word. I'll take it. God loves me. But then when it comes to, like, what is sin? That's archaic. That's what people say. That's archaic. What's that going to produce in my life? It's going to produce discontentment, every evil work. But when I just say, Lord, you're the boss. You know more than I do. What do you have to say about it? Before I do a business deal, Lord, what do you have to say? Amen? Before I get into a relationship, Lord, what do you have to say? How many times, let's don't raise your hand, I'll speak for myself. How much heartbreak and heartache, physical, emotional, just abuse, financial loss, could I have saved myself from if before I said, sure, I'll go on a date, cutie. If I would have said, what does God say about this person? What does God say? Do you meet the standard that God has for me? Oh, wouldn't that be good? Let's ask ourselves where the line is between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom, and let's stay above the line. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that, Lord, that this message today regarding wisdom, that, Lord, that we would apply it to our lives. We'd apply it to every area, to relationships, to business, to finances, to our own integrity, that, Lord, we would apply what your word says. Because, Father, we all want that good life. We want to be recognized that our lives show a good life, shows the power of God operating in our life. Lord, our decisions may look crazy to the world, but, Father, our prayer is that they line up with the Word of God because we know that's where our help comes from. So Lord, help us to see, help us to recognize where we've taken just a little bit of that the world's way of doing stuff. We've let it in. We've let it in and we're okay with it. Holy Spirit, check us. Help us see. Lord, David cried out. He said, search me, O Lord. Father, we're crying out. We're saying, search us. Because we don't want any demonic thoughts and ways about us. But it's so easy. It's so easy to all of a sudden just be like, oh, yeah, that's okay. Oh, yeah, that's good. Lord, help us. Help us to see, because, Lord, we want that good life. And so help us recognize heavenly wisdom, wisdom that comes from above. Lord, I say and declare today and every day, Lord, I thank you that wisdom that comes from above operates in my life. Let us seek you first. Let us seek you first in regards to areas of our life. Because, Lord, we trust you. We trust you. I don't want to be Lord over my own life. I don't want to be Lord. I'm not qualified. I want you to be Lord. So, Lord, I'm humble. I say, Lord, have your way. Have your way. And in areas where maybe we've crossed the line and we've, you know, we've just stepped into maybe a business deal, a business relationship, something that really we just, it's just not you, Lord. Father, I pray that you'd help anyone in that situation. You would just make the way for them to get out. You just make the way, Lord. I believe that somebody in here today, you're like, man, I wish I would have heard this message 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Because of the situation you're in, God's telling you, he restores. God forgives. The Bible says that love covers. Love covers. God will cover you. You just got to turn to him. Turn to him. Repent for it. Don't deny it and deny the truth. Turn to him and say, Lord, I knew I shouldn't have gotten into this. I knew I shouldn't have signed that. I knew I shouldn't have gotten in that deal, and I repent for it. And the Bible says that when we do, that he restores. But you can't deny it. You can't tiptoe around it. Be real with God, and he'll get you out. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your wisdom operating in our life. Lord, help us run to the running car. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hey, I hope you got something out of that today. I believe that's a message for us. The world's voice is getting louder and louder because of technology, because of all the different ways that the world can speak into us. But I know that God's word, it can be the loudest in our life if we let it. Amen. Let God's word be the loudest voice in your life because it's going to work out. Amen. Hey, we're going to get ready to give in here today. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sow.